there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Morning, Real Life.
Morning.
Wow, you guys are less people and louder than the last service. So, well, we're going to get started on a new series. Let me get this unfolded here. Right side up, right side, there we go. Called Life Hacks. Remember when we were working on this, I grew up thinking a hack was a person, not a very good person. That person's a hack. Well, my age is catching up with me because I guess life hacks are things that make life easier. And so if you go on YouTube and look up life hacks, there's hacks for all sorts of stuff. And it's to make things more productive, make a more complicated job simpler, more effective, more productive. It's not taking shortcuts, it's actually making things work better. So there are life hacks. And we're going to be going through the book of Proverbs. And one of those hacks, it doesn't even sound right saying it, but I'll say it, is wisdom. And next week we'll be talking about humility, and then taming the tongue, and then last of all, purity. And all those do, as you and I submit to those as disciples of Jesus, do bring an ease to life or unnecessary pain. Let's put it that way, because life's not necessarily easy, but it doesn't have to be as hard as sometimes I make it. That makes sense. And so what we're going to do is, even though it says life hacks going through the book of Proverbs, I'm going to spend most of my time in James today. I want to set up what wisdom is, and that's why we're going to be in the book of James. But I do want to start with this in Proverbs. If you got your notes, right at the very top, we're going to look at Proverbs 9:10, and this is what that passage says. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So oftentimes that word, let me put it this way, the word fear, the fear of the Lord. I was, if you call it fortunate enough, I got to live with a lot of different families growing up, and some of those families were very religious. And I understood the fear of the Lord, because if I didn't have my Bible verse memorized, it was either a whooping or getting grounded. There's all sorts of things tied to that. So I understood the fear of God. I was afraid of God, and I was afraid of the people I lived with. And that's not what this is saying right here. There is a proper fear or respect. And so I want you to look from this perspective. Let's try this. If our father, let's say all we're brothers and sisters, like we all have the same biological mom and dad, I mean, that'd be pretty impressive, but we do. And our dad, we always knew he had the very best in mind for us. At times he was stern because he cared for us. He had expectations of us. We could always go to him. He always accepted us. He never ridiculed or put us down. At times in love, he would discipline us. But we would, as sons and daughters, we would be compelled, because he's so good to us, we'd be compelled to do what he says. That's the fear of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. And it says, that last part of that passage says, and the knowledge or the knowing of, not the knowledge like I read in an encyclopedia and now I know about something, but it's the knowledge of the Holy One, that's God, is understanding. Because I know God, I want you to hear this, because I know God, I understand Him. I understand those sort of things, what it means to fear. It's a respect. It's an appreciation. An awe of God. That's the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. So part of the fear of the Lord is the desire or willingness to do what he says. If there is no fear of God, there is no wisdom. If there is no fear of God, there is no wisdom. If there is no knowing of God or respect, there won't be wisdom, because God is wisdom. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in this message. So that's in the book of Proverbs. You can read through Proverbs, and there's oceans of wisdom passages. And I kicked around doing that, but what I wanted to do is come out from a little bit different perspective. We're the church. I heard this a long time ago. I remember the first time I came to Real Life Ministries, and Jim Putman said this. He goes, We're not called to go to church. We're called to, you guys already know this. And the first time I heard that, I'm like, that's right. Then I heard this. He goes, we're going to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. I'm like, no, you're not. That's a lot of people. How are you going to reach? Because that's what I was thinking. And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to create biblical disciples in a relational environment. And I'm like, so if we're going to reach the world, I want you to think about this. If you and I are going to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time, what are we going to reach them with? I'm not trying to be funny. Jesus? That doesn't work. Jesus has given us things and a way to grow and to love each other that would actually reach people. We're going to reach them with something. And we're going to create biblical disciples in a relational environment. So to create a biblical disciple, I need to, in the fear of the Lord, be willing to grow as a biblical disciple, grow in wisdom and maturity, if we're going to do all what we're talking about. So as we go through the book of James and talk about wisdom, I want you, I've been doing this for the last couple weeks, and I used to do this all the time, to look at this through the lens of relationship. I want you to look at wisdom through the lens of relationship. So here's what we're going to do. If you look in your notes, I've got a definition for wisdom. I pulled it up out of Thayer's Greek lexicon. I don't read Greek. I don't understand Greek verbs and tenses, but I can look stuff up, and so can you. I can figure that much out. And so here's what that word means. Wisdom is the knowledge and practice of the requisites for godly and upright living. I'm going to read that one more time. The wisdom is the knowledge and practice, I love the word practice, of the requisites, of the requirements, the basic things for godly living and upright, for upright living. Without wisdom, there is no godly living. Wisdom is the requisite, is the requirements for godly living. So I want you to consider this. Consider your relationships that you're in right now. Maybe the one, your spouse, your kids, whatever it is. And think in those relationships, it might be as recent as this morning, where there's been tension or somebody's been hurt, you or the other person. When I say hurt, offended, ticked off, legitimately hurt. When I do that, when I think of that, I can see a lack of wisdom being played out in my life. I'm going to give you an example. Last Friday, I preached here last Friday night. So Friday morning, I'm at home. I'm sitting out on the deck, sending emails, getting stuff ready for a traveling trip I got to do. I asked my wife, hey, sweetheart, can you get me such and such report? She's like, no problem. So I asked for ABC. I got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And here's how I responded. I go, man, Christine, that's a lot of stuff. Thank you. I can get what I need out of this. I got cross with her and impatient because she gave me more than I asked for. And I asked her why she did that. And I kind of put her on the ropes now. She's got to answer me and defend herself. Is that wisdom? Did it hurt her feelings, you think? Do you think she felt like she screwed up or I wasn't happy with her? Absolutely. I wasn't acting in wisdom, and I got to preach a sermon about 6 hours later. So what I'm saying, I want you to hear this, what I'm saying, of course, Christy and I have talked about this. I asked forgiveness. I let her tell me how it felt. I'm endeavoring not to make those foolish mistakes again. Wisdom is a process. It is a process that we grow in. You just don't go get wisdom. It tells us to go get it, but there's more to it than getting it, and we grow in wisdom, so it's a process for all of us. So I want to talk about wisdom being a life hack. So I'm going to give you an example of a hack. My uncle isn't a hack. He had a hack, though. He's a mechanic for John Deere. I grew up in western Nebraska. He was a John Deere mechanic in eastern Wyoming, and he was working on combines during the harvest, and this is back in 79, 78. But anyway, there was a part on a combine. I'm not getting all the specifics, but it's a very difficult place to get to, and it's a big housing up under the combine. And when you're a mechanic, those of you who are the mechanics, many of you understand, you get paid, it was called getting paid flat rate. And what that means is if I'm a mechanic, you bring your car in, I change your water pump, that job, the book would say, hypothetically, pays 2.5 hours. So if I get that job done in 1 hour, I get paid for 2.5 hours work in 1 hour. If it takes me 6 hours, I get paid 2.5 hours for 6 hours work. Well, that particular flat rate job works the same way in the big stuff. Was about a 20-hour job. And he figured out a way by drilling a hole through this housing that was about this big and tapping a hole and putting a light in there, he could change and work on that part, put a plug in, and it was all legit. There was no shortcuts, and it actually worked, and do that in about 2.5 to 3 hours. So he gets paid 20 hours. He gets paid almost a day's work. He could do 2 or 3 of those in a day. It worked so well, in fact, that John Deere actually took that and that part. I doubt it's that long ago, they actually put a plug there so it was easier to work on. That's called a hack. He figured out a better way. So when we talk about life hacks, there is a better way to live than many of us are taught or experience all the time. And so we're going to talk about wisdom from that perspective. So here's what we're going to cover. What am I asking for? When I'm asking for wisdom, what am I asking for? Wisdom of the world. What's the outcome of the wisdom of the world? Wisdom from above or from heaven. What's the outcome of that? And then walking with the wise. Who am I walking with if I'm walking with the wise? So let's start with what am I asking for? And I'll tell you another story. So I was working with this guy. He was in my home group, life group years ago. And him and his wife had been married for 20 plus years. And their marriage was always tumultuous at best anyway. And I remember sitting down with him, and he was thinking about leaving his wife, and I was sitting down talking to him, and he's like, I pray and pray for wisdom, and God doesn't give me anything. And I go, he doesn't? And he goes, no, I pray. I go, let me ask you a question. We'll call him Bob. What are you, when you ask for wisdom, what are you asking for? And he just stared at me. I go, what are you asking for? He's like, well, I don't know. And I said, then why are you upset? If you don't know what you're asking for, how do you even know if you got it or didn't get it? So with that in mind, listen to this. And this is to the church. This is a letter to us. Listen to this. This is what, James is writing. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So if I don't know what I'm asking for, I don't know if I have it or not, I would probably be double-minded and unstable almost everything I do. I know that to be a fact because I've lived that out a good part of my life. So do you want what you're asking for? Do you want wisdom? Because if you want wisdom, it crowds in on your life in different ways you might not expect, in a good way. And so I was thinking about that, and I go, man, he doesn't know what he's asking for. He is double-minded. Should I stay or should I go? He ended up going, did not choose wisdom. And there's a ton of pain and disaster behind that trail for sure. But in the church often, and Pat and I were talking about this morning, I want you to see if you fit into this. Life gets so busy and so complicated, even in ministry. It doesn't matter, a mom, a dad, whatever the job is, life has all sorts of stuff, throwing stuff our way. And I want you to know this, the world and the way the world runs does not lend itself to anything worthwhile towards wisdom. It's always a distraction. You and I have to choose what we're going to focus on. You have to make a daily, almost hourly, minute-by-minute decision. I'm going to stay here and not here. And some are more focused than others. I am not a focused guy. I have to deliberately keep my mind on things. So what am I asking for? Here's what you're asking for when you ask for wisdom. I wrote this down. I had this thought the other day. I am asking to make choices that are consistent with the life of Christ in me. Galatians 2 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So I'm asking to make decisions. I'm asking to live in such a way that's consistent with the life of Christ in me. When I'm asking for wisdom, I'm not asking, What is the answer to this question, or what color car should I buy? That's not wisdom. Those are questions on what to do. Wisdom is a way of living. So let's see what this looks like. So wisdom of the world. What does God's word tell us about wisdom of the world? So James writes this. He goes, you ask, you doubt. This is what you get. You're all over the place. Then he go to James chapter 3. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? So he's writing this to the church. So pretend we're all reading this letter together. And I'm going, man, who is wise and understanding among us? It's a good question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life and by deeds done. I want you to hear this. By deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Hear this. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Absolute truth. You know, Pat and I were talking about this morning, and I don't mean it, just bear with me. You can take Jesus out of this equation, and this is fact. If there's not wisdom and there's not common sense and a concern for other people, you have chaos and every evil practice. And we see it everywhere we go today. I see it if I watch the news, doesn't matter which network, I see chaos and craziness, disorder, double-mindedness, dishonesty. I see it in the traffic now. I see it, if I look back on my life and decisions I've made in selfishness and selfish ambition, the remnants of that, some things I'm still paying for. Those things were not done in wisdom. And they are earthly, they are unspiritual, and they are demonic or of the devil. So what is the outcome of this kind of wisdom? This is the wisdom of the world, by the way. This is what's expected in the world. This is what you and I grew up hearing our whole lives. You might have heard other things from your mom and dad and stuff, but the way of the world is this. I'm going to get mine. You mess with me, I'm going to mess with you twice as bad. I will figure out a way to get over. Here's one. I got ripped off for about, I'll send a lot of money. I'm going to just put that number there. And the guy, the business guy, here's how the ripoff went. When he was confronted, he goes, "You chose to be ripped off." Now, I get it. There were some things I shouldn't have signed. I didn't look at the small print. I get it. He said, "You wanted to be ripped off. If you didn't want to be ripped off, you'd have paid attention." That's the way of the world. Now, the other way of the world said, "Well, you want to get your rear end handed to you, right?" I mean, then the next thing goes on, and it perpetuates itself, and nothing works. And now we have chaos and every evil behavior. I had to forgive him, as painful as that was. And I can actually talk about it and laugh. It doesn't hurt so much, but that was a few years ago. So anyway, the way of the world is always self. I want to hear this. The way of the world, the wisdom of the world is always self. And so what are the results or what are the outcomes of the way of the world? I just wrote some words down. Confusion, chaos, broken relationships, lying, unsatisfied, dissatisfaction, abandonment, crime, corruption, unforgiveness, bitterness, slander, hiding, hypocrisy. All that is born out of a lack of wisdom. And I've experienced most of those. And I've actually done most of those. And so when I act selfishly, I have done things and then I hide. And when I'm hiding, I have to lie to cover up my hiding. And if I keep doing that, then I talk to people, then I'm a hypocrite because I'm not talking about who I really am. I don't know if you guys identify with this or is it just me. There is freedom from this. So when we go back to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's the knowing of God, understanding, and believing Him. This is not part of a walk with God. Now, we experience it around us, but we're not producing this when we walk in wisdom. And if you do produce it, you fail quick because you learn in humility to get moving on. So that's the outcome of the world, the wisdom of the world. The wisdom from above outcome. I'm going to read this passage to you. It's in James 3, 17 through 18. It just follows what I read. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive. In the ESV, it says open to reason. I love that. Submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now hold that thought. We're going to go back up to the first passage we read. I want to talk about, it says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. How do I get humility? How do I get humility? I know how I get humility. I get humiliated. Humility is a choice. So go back to my interaction with my wife, Christine. I was cross. I was impatient with her. I could say, hey, I'm sorry that hurt you. Next time, just get your stuff right and this, we won't have to have this conversation. That's not humility. Once I empathize and begin to feel some of her pain, and what it'd be like, I'm like, honey, I should never talk to you that way, and here's why. First of all, it's hurtful. Second of all, you only wanted to help me, and you pay a price for helping me. I'm asking you to please forgive me, and I am going to endeavor not to do this. And whatever that felt like, I need to hear it, and I'm not going to defend myself. You say what you want to me. That's humility. That's wisdom. That's what we grow in, and it helps, and it makes relationship work, because that's the kind of person I want to be around. So with that in mind, let's go back to James. The wisdom from above is, first of all, pure. I want to break this down. Pure. Are your motives pure? A wise person's motives would be pure. I am talking to you. I don't have an underhanded agenda. I'm not trying to take advantage of you. I'm actually thinking the best for the other person. These are all characters of Jesus, by the way. This is what we're asking for. Remember I said when I'm asking for wisdom, I'm asking for the life of Christ in me. The things are consistent with the life of Christ. Christ's motives were pure. His thoughts were pure. Now, I have some messed up thoughts that come in, but I don't camp there. There's something I can do with it. But it takes time and practice to think pure and to have pure motives. First of all, pure. Then peace-loving. The people that know you best, this is a rhetorical question, would they say, let's say your name is Sam, where they go, or Samantha, we got Sam, Samantha. Samantha or Sam, they are peace-loving. Would they say that about you? Don't make a noise. I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I peace-loving, or do I cause a lot of heartache and strife for people? Wisdom is peace-loving, holding back on saying the thing. You might be right, but you don't have to destroy people with how right you are. So it's pure, it's peace-loving. It's full of mercy, considerate, submissive. Submissive. Okay, try. Wives, submit to your husbands. Come on. I have said that, and I've watched the juggle. Men don't like submissiveness any more than women do, so there you go. But wisdom is submissive, to submit. Scripture tells us to submit, to give way to one another out of reverence to Christ. A wise person will yield to the other person. A wise husband submits to his wife. Here's how I submit to my wife. I listen to her, and I tell her what I think I heard her say to make sure that's correct. I'm going to submit to you. I actually care about what you're saying. I submit to my wife by asking forgiveness when I need to. It's not just doing what you're told. Because here's the fact of the matter. I've always struggled with being submissive. When I first came on staff, that was the big thing that God was working in me, 12, 11, however many years ago that was. I have never submitted to anybody in my life. I had somebody, I was getting in trouble, and I had somebody say, well, you were in the military, you submitted then. I'm going, I didn't submit in the military, I just did what I was told. There's a big difference. I can do what I'm told and not submit. I'll sit down, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know that whole story? A submissive person from their heart yields and gives way for the betterment of the other person. It works fantastic in relationship. But there's a cost. Was Jesus submissive? Yep. Are you a disciple of Jesus? So a disciple is one who follows Jesus, does what he says, is being changed by Jesus, becomes more and more like him, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. It can do whatever it takes. That's what we're talking about with it in wisdom here. So submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. I want you to hear this. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. There is a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper is the one who always keeps the peace, just keep things nice. A peacemaker is the one that will say the hard things to maintain peace. A legitimate, substantial peace. A wise man or woman can go to the person and go, I need to talk to you about something. And it's hard. And it's not easy. I hate those conversations. People think I like conflict because I do this. I hate conflict. I like just getting along. But I hate chaos more than I hate conflict. So I will go ahead and have those hard conversations. Wisdom will have that hard conversation. Wisdom will hear that hard conversation. So when somebody comes to me and says, Keith, this is true, it's very difficult to be in a team meeting with you because you are so, what's the word I'm looking for? Always, if I always say always, never, can't, that is?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, but there's another word for it, it's gonna come to me. But, and it says, so when we're in a team meeting with you, we have to, we're either on your side or not on your side, so it's very difficult to be around you. I'm like, oh. And if you want to know for sure, I want you to talk to this person, this person, this person. So I had to go around and talk to all these people, and they're like, yeah, hate being in meetings with you. And I'm like, so I could hear that and say, well, you guys are always talking bad about me. Now I'm doing it, right? Or I'm like, okay, I'm going to really work on that, and will you guys please point it out when I do that? That's peacemaker. Now the meetings are more peaceful. Or I could just stay stubborn and do my own thing, and they're all wrong. They're all the problem. No, I was the problem. Be a peacemaker, not peacekeepers. We're to be peacemakers. So what is the outcome of this kind of wisdom is from above? I wrote down some words, and we'll talk about those a little bit. Before I say that, I wrote this down. I was thinking about this. There is a God-ordained rhythm or order to relationship, and wisdom produces that order. And here's what we get. We get security, we get safety, freedom, value, courage, purpose, honesty, transparency. That's the outcome of a life of wisdom. And I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. It says that God lavished us with grace, with all wisdom and understanding. He lavished you with his favor and purpose, with all wisdom and understanding. He has your best interest in mind always on his terms, because he knows what's better for me than I know. I had a guy ask me, is what you want going to get what you want? I'm like, it just seems like what I want right now. God knows. So the life of wisdom, who doesn't want to be around the person that is humble, that is patient, that is kind, that is loving, that is joyful? That's the people I like to hang around with. I like to be with the person I don't have to second guess what they're saying. Did they say that underhanded? Is it a passive aggressive shot? Or are they over aggressive? Whatever it is. Or are they a person of wisdom that's growing in wisdom? I'm not talking about a perfect person, I'm talking about a person that's growing. So if I'm gonna walk in wisdom, who am I walking with? So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 30 says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. So I want you guys to think of what you were before you knew Jesus. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that were not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Walking with the wise. We're going to walk with Jesus. So Jesus says this in John 14. Says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the other part said, no man comes to the Father except by me. Well, that statement, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, is a statement that stands on its own. So Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus says, I want you to hear it this way. I am the way things are done. I am the method of life. I am the method. Jesus says, I am the way you talk to your loved ones. I am the way you go to work. I am the way you think when you're alone. I am the way you go about life when nobody's at home. I am the way you do your taxes. I am the way you have conversations. I am the way of what you watch and partake in. He is the method. He's our wisdom. He is also the way to the Father. And I'm not taking that away. But he is the way things are. He modeled. Everything he's asked of us, he's modeled and lived out. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Jesus doesn't just tell the truth. He doesn't know about truth. He is truth. Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is your life. We have life in Christ. That's why we sing the songs we do. That's why we're able to live the way we do in that new life. The Christian was talking about, the old has come, the new is gone. We're a new creation. We're a new being. This new being walks in wisdom and benefits wisdom. This new being is a benefit to the people around it. You're a life giver. You grow into that. It's like I keep saying this is something we grow into. We don't start out, we just start out like everybody else does. But as we go, we grow and we become more and more like Jesus. John 15. I left my glasses at home. And so in John 15, I want to read this to you because if we're going to walk with the wise, then we abide with Jesus. We spend time with Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. That is consistent with what we read in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jesus is obeying commands God gave him. He's just going, obey me like I obey the Father. Remain in my love. So what would it look like to remain in Jesus' love? Well, if our definition of love is 1 Corinthians 13, here's what you're remaining in. Love is patient and kind. That means I would remain in Jesus' patience and kindness. Love isn't rude. It's not selfish. It's not easily angered. It's not vindictive. Okay, I can stay with that. Always hopes, always perseveres, always bears with, and never fails. I think I want to remain there. That's your invitation. Wisdom would run, the lack of wisdom runs from that. And that's what we see in this whole world. Everybody stays away from that, and they want to do things on their own. We're going to, as disciples of Jesus, those who follow, those who are being changed, those committed to the mission, we walk with the wise, and we walk with each other in this. We walk with Jesus, but we practice. I want you to hear this. This is so important. We practice wisdom in relationship. That is the playing field for wisdom. I know a lot of smart, intellectual people that are absolute fools. They are not good at relationship. They're spiteful, they're hateful, they're bitter, they're vindictive, they're condescending. So they know a lot, but they're not wise. Wisdom is how we love and live out life. The wisdom of above is first of all pure, then peaceable, right? And the only way we grow in that is we need to be in relationship. That's where we get to practice being pure and peace-loving. You know where peace-loving shows up? When things aren't going so good. Isn't it interesting? It says in James, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Well, those trials, I used to always think it was getting persecuted, getting put in jail. Well, those are trials too. But also the trials are just having somebody tell me what to do and me not throw a hissy fit. Or not feeling offended or not feeling put out. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you're not the one that's picked or noticed. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when your kids aren't treating you the way you want to be treated or talking to you like you want to be treated. Well, wisdom will win the day on that. It's just not easy. So here's what we get to choose. Here's your question that I want you guys to wrestle with. And I was talking to a lady after service, second service, and she goes, man, I am stuck with the stuff you're saying. I go, anytime I preach, this is my desire. I don't ever care to answer questions. And I don't ever care that you get it because I don't know how people get to. Here's what I want you to leave with. I want you to wrestle with and embrace and have to and let God do what he wants to do with what you're hearing here. And hopefully it sticks to you for a couple, 3-4 weeks. And if you're being stubborn about wisdom and doing what God wants you to do, I hope you're miserable. And I mean that to the bottom of my heart. And here's why I say that. Because in misery, when you've had enough, that's when people surrender. I don't know anybody that go, man, things are going my way. I think I'm going to surrender and give up and do it a different way. It doesn't work that way. I don't know why. But so I want you to feel the weight of this. So here's your question. Do you or will you choose wisdom? Will you, I want you to hear, you say it in your mind, will I choose wisdom or will I choose to shrivel up and die in foolishness? That's your choice. Will I choose wisdom? If you choose wisdom, this is where Jesus said it'll cost you your life because it's going to be about other people. It's going to be about being offended and not getting back at people. It's going to be about being wronged and okay being wronged and not having to prove your point or be right. Was Jesus wronged? Did people say stuff about Jesus that wasn't true? Was he falsely arrested? Did he do anything about it? That's yes, no? And I'm a disciple of Jesus, and we want to be like Jesus? And there's my next question. Do you really want to be like Jesus? You get to practice at home with your spouse, with your kids. If you don't have spouse and kids, you get to practice with your neighbor and your friends. If you don't have a neighbor and friends, come see me. We'll introduce you to some people. Will you choose wisdom? Here's my hope. Anytime I do anything like this, You know, people don't want to be at church and want to be around church people because most church people don't walk in wisdom and they don't love each other. And Jesus tells us, they'll know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. I want the church to be the church in such a way, it's not easy and it's not perfect, that people are going to go, they're crazy, but I want to be with those folks. At least there I know I'm loved and accepted and they're going to help me. That's why I'm talking to you about this. And so if you're a person out there right now that's been walking in wisdom, not perfect, but you're moving that direction, I want to encourage you to stay the course. I'm not asking you to beat yourself up. I want you to stay the course. It's okay to fail. Just fail quick. If you're sitting out there and you're a disciple of Jesus, but you're holding on to bitterness and envy and you're being stubborn, and I know life hurts, we get beat up, it's time to repent. Change of heart and a change of mind towards Jesus Christ and surrender and submit to Jesus and submit to other people.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.